Trudeau was reprimanded by three EU members in Brussels over his increasing authoritarian performance as prime minister. That happened just 2 days after our prime minister announced a supply and confidence agreement with the NDP, guaranteeing a full term for his minority, but now being able to behave as a majority government. Hi, I'm Michael Thiessen. He's Tim Tyso. And this is Liberty Dispatch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour.
Bonhoeffer spoke by radio to a national audience. He delivered one of the first public criticisms of the new chancellor.
Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Welcome to Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. It's good to be back with you. Thanks for joining us on the show today. If you are a first-time listener, and we do have many of those, we want to welcome you. We're glad that you found us. If you're listening on Rumble, you can subscribe to our channel there at the Liberty Coalition Canada. You can also share our videos from there. If you're listening on podcast, we really appreciate you being with us as well. Please don't forget to subscribe there or follow the podcast and give us a 5-star rating. It is the best way to get into the algorithmic magic of podcast sharing, and that is ever so important. And don't forget to keep up with everything going on with the Liberty Coalition Canada by signing up for our email list at libertycoalitioncanada.com. And there you can also find ways to donate and become a financial partner and sponsor of not only the Liberty Coalition Canada, but all of our media outlets and efforts. And as we expand our media reach, as we talked about last show, you can do that all on our website. Mike, some fantastic content coming out of Europe. We did say we were going to turn back to Canadian content, but it's still overseas. And so how are you feeling right now? It's good to see our prime minister back on the world stage and to see him just really interacting with world leaders.
I love how you totally entered into that in full sarcasm.
I'm so glad that we have the outline that we have in front of us, because the stories actually came to me backwards of how we're going to present them. I was watching the second story and just horrified by what's going on with the NDP partnership. And then I watched our prime minister himself speak to EU members, and the way that he presented himself was exactly the way that these representatives have now responded and called him out for. So his European Union appearance was an embarrassing expose of Canada and Trudeau's reputation overseas. We have a speech followed by a tweet from Mr. Mislav Kolakušić. And this is his quote: "Mr. Trudeau, the right to life, health, and the right to work for many of us are fundamental freedoms, fundamental human rights, for which millions of citizens of Europe have laid down their lives. Unfortunately, there are those among us today who trample on these fundamental freedoms." And this is where, if you didn't see the tweet, you were waiting for, well, who is he going to talk about? And boom, Canada, once a symbol of the modern world, has become a symbol of civil rights violations under your quasi-liberal boot. In recent months, we watched you trample women under horses, freeze bank accounts of single mothers. For you, these are many liberal, these may be liberal methods, but to many citizens of the world, it is a dictatorship. And if you missed the video, he turns around. This is one of the members of the European Union Parliament, which we were just ragging on 2 days ago, but here they're actually serving a half useful purpose. And this member of parliament, he turns around and he looks at Trudeau when he says Canada. I mean, this is very direct. This is very forceful. And another European parliamentary member, Bernhard Zimniak, stood up and said this. And we have this through a translation. It was not delivered in English. And he said, "The invitation to Canadian
to the Canadian Prime Minister is an invitation to someone who has been trampling those democratic rights, who has been cracking down on people protesting disproportionate COVID measures. Clearly, the values of democracy are being despised by this individual. Let us not give someone like this any speaking time in this house of democracy. So you can see open calls here from other European members to block Trudeau from speaking. Now, that he went on to speak. These were not successful calls, but it is shocking that our own prime minister, there are calls on the floor of the EU to block him from speaking because of his performance as our prime minister. I mean, this is like a truly historic moment for Canada. I mean, you have to understand how significant this is.
And you got to remember, like, this is the EU that the British have decided to leave because the EU is exercising too much control over the British, yes. You know, the British people. So, you know, Brexit was all about responding to the EU. And here you have those socialistically minded individuals turning to one of their counterparts or maybe peers. One of their younger protege and saying, you know, like, I wonder what they're saying to him when they don't have to address him formally as Mr. Prime Minister. Are they just calling him back and patting him on the head and saying, young Justin, like, come on. You're ruining it for us all. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Go for the next quote, Tim. I want to get to Trudeau's speech, because that was the thing that really was riveting for me.
So we did save the best for last here in terms of speeches. This one from Christine Anderson, and she has been on record earlier in opposition to Trudeau, but listen to this. And she Trudeau came to speak on Article 195. She said it would be more appropriate for him to speak on Article 144, which was specifically, the quote from her, specifically designed to allow debate on human rights violations, democracy, and rule of law. Clearly the case with Mr. Trudeau. Then again, a PM, a prime minister who openly admires China's basic dictatorship, who tramples on fundamental rights by persecuting and criminalizing his own citizens as terrorists just because they dare stand up to his perverted concept of democracy, should not be allowed to speak in this house at all. Mr. Trudeau, you are a disgrace for any democracy. Please spare us your presence. Thank you. A dagger, an absolute dagger from Christine Anderson on the floor of the European Parliament in Brussels. This is on record on his legacy. And it's just tremendous, tremendous words. And I wish these words were coming from our own members of Parliament here in Canada. I wish we had that kind of gusto and willingness to tell the truth here in Canada. But we'll take it where we get it. If it's from the House of the EU, we'll accept it.
It might actually be better received for Justin, because he's been, this prime minister has been so focused on his global
presence.
You know, early on in the pandemic, I wrote an open letter to the prime minister and I warned him of making decisions on the behalf of Canadians with his eyes so focused on the global possibilities, right? Because, you know,
he's been showing off to for 6 years. These are the people he's been posturing for and whining and dining. And these are the cool kids at the table.
These are his next step of employment opportunities, right? He's guaranteed himself now till 2025. We're going to talk about that. But after that, there's all of these opportunities within the think tank, the political consulting world. And so, you know, maybe it's better well received from the EU than even our prime and our local parliamentary members.
Right. He expects it from them.
Yeah. So so here's how the story came to me, though. This is like Trudeau then delivered a speech to a mostly empty auditorium, defending himself and blasting his opponents. And this is what I saw first. So I didn't see the other speeches. And
he got up after those comments and gave this speech, which adds so much to its context.
And I'm actually pleased that it came in that context because he had received a good scolding. And so this is like a really anxious defensive posture. But when you are watching him sell his version of the story, there is nothing but absolute anger and animosity and lies. So look, Trudeau specifically attacked the February Freedom Convoy protest in Ottawa, saying the leaders, this is what he's calling them, that we are seeing a rise in cynical populists who are trying to exploit anxieties. And then he goes on, they pretend to have easy solutions that play on people's fears. Even in Canada, where 90% of people are vaccinated, and our motto as a country is, and you should have seen it, like if you haven't watched it, people need to go watch it. Peace, order, and good government. Like he's just angry. We saw anti-vaccine and anti-government protests evolve into illegal occupations of our communities and blockades of our borders, said Trudeau. He said that the leaders of the convoys were effective in turning citizens with real anxieties against the system best suited to allay those concerns.
Okay, I just have to hold you there because this is, you know, you say in that he's speaking with anger, and I think he is, but I push back on that a little bit because he's speaking with almost this supernatural serenity. Because I think he is so deep in his self-delusion that it doesn't, his peers stand up and call him a dictator, and he's going to stand up and say, oh, but you don't understand what I was dealing with this occupation and these illegal protests and these cynical populists. I mean, cynical? Do we have a definition for cynical that doesn't better suit our prime minister? And talk about opportunistic exploiting of situations to push agendas. I mean, it is just, you can't even begin. It is so perfectly aligned in the inverse of reality that it's delusional. And I agree with
you that it is delusional. But the reason why I'm saying that he is so angry, and I'm noticing this the more our prime minister speaks, is you can see the disdain for anyone. Now, look.
Agreed.
Do I have disdain for people who disagree with me? Yeah, probably on bad days. If I was delivering a speech 15 seconds after three people told me to sit down and shut up, would I personally
feel a bit of burn your saddle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. But
the thing is, though, is the disdain is pointed towards his own citizens. It exactly. is not pointed towards these individuals. Like, so if I wanted to bite back at those individuals, I'd be like, hey, I do exactly what I just did with like kind of thinking through the situation. Hey, EU guys, didn't the British leave you because you were too controlling? Like, let's not let, you know, the donkey, you know, call the mule an ass, right? Like let's not have the kettle call the pot black. But that would have been
smart, actually.
All of his disdain is towards his own citizens. And of course, that's where the lying right. comes out. Cynical populists, like cynical. Yeah. Cynical of your leadership. No problem. Sinister. Like, is that the word we were going for? You know, all of the lies that he's been telling and exploiting anxieties. Like, you mean like a freedom convoy worried that we don't have any freedoms left in Canada, making people aware of that. He's calling yeah. that exploiting anxieties. Like,
well, and that's the other thing I wanted to point out is that he said they were effective in turning citizens with real anxieties. And as if we're all curled up in a corner with anxiety. No, we are angry and we are speaking against your specific government's policies. We don't just have disembodied anxieties that the convoy capitalized on, but he said effective at turning them against the system best suited to allay those concerns. In other words, the government is their only hope. These people with anxieties about freedoms, their only hope is the government. And these cynical truckers, all they did was turn people against us. I mean, us, we're the only ones who can help. You can just see how the wheels turn in this man's brain as he says, I mean, can you imagine anybody so stupid as to turn against the government? Who, by the way, are the only federal jurisdiction in the world who still has COVID restrictions to the level that we have. And tell us about how you'll fix the concerns.
I want to jump in there and talk a little bit about those comments and talk about, just to be very clear with people, he did not handle the trucker convoy in one way, in one single, like if there was a scale and you were able to put like little grams of gold on it, he did not put one gold nugget of diplomacy on the scale.
Right.
He didn't speak to the truckers. He didn't acquiesce to any single demand. And again, what are the demands? The demands are, and the mandates. Okay, wait, what are we doing less than 2 months later? We are ending the mandate. So again, people with anxiety, he could have publicly announced, he could have responded and said, look, we've spoken with the truckers. We've come to an agreement, and diplomacy is when you have two sides talk things out and handle it peacefully. He did not do a single thing that would resemble a democratic leader. He enacted the equivalency of the War Measures Act, the Emergencies Measures Act, and he did all of the things that was he was accused of. The one thing I want to say, Tim, on this, all of the things that they accused him of, it's interesting because you and I would have seen all of those things, like women being trampled under horses, bank accounts being frozen of single mothers, going down further in the last one, just a basic dictatorship who tramples people's fundamental rights. It's really clear that these leaders are somehow seeing social media, because none of those things have been reported for what they are in our mainstream media. So I was looking at that going, well, at least the world is seeing the story for those people who are engaged in social media.
Well, and you make a good point that, you know, here and Justin Trudeau tweeted, by the way, on March 20th, I believe, on his way to Brussels, he literally said, I'm on my way to fight for democracy. I mean, put a bat cape on, like, go to it. Like, Trudeau, besides Vladimir Putin, nobody sees any other Western leader as a worse hypocrite and as a greater threat to democracy than you.
Yeah. Like, and let's be careful. We should talk to a few Russians to see if they think Putin is worse than Trudeau. Like, we should at least, we've never had that experience.
We don't know for sure if they think Putin is worse. But
I want to bring this back to a worldview stuff and Christian ideas, right? Like, so it's just a very simple thing. Our prime minister is lying. And he is not answering questions with any amount of honesty. It's a problem in virtually all levels of politics. I was just talking to a guy just down the street about local municipal issues. And he said, you know, it's so frustrating. They can make any accusation that they want. And when you ask them a direct question, they don't have to answer it. Lying and dishonesty is a plague in our political system. There's a difference between avoiding a really pointed question from the opposition that is obviously itself fraud.
Yeah.
But when somebody says, what is is 2 + 2 = 4? And you refuse to answer that question, it is lying. He's just a liar. And people need to be aware of that.
Yeah. And there's one last thing, and this will transition us into talking about this coalition supply agreement. Christine Anderson said specifically, she said that he criminalized his own citizens for daring to speak against his own perverted concept of democracy. And I think this is really important for her to say that specific phrase, because he sees himself as a defender of Western democracy. And what she's pointing out is that just because it has the forms of democracy, like the House of Commons or like a poll or an election, does not make it democratic, because the forms of democracy that accompany the institutions that sustained democracy, like free and open media, which Canada is censoring through its democratic process. It's censoring freedom of religion, which is an independent institution, okay, which is integral to the survival of democracy. We talk about protest, which is one of the pillars of democracy, to register opposition. All of these things he has diminished, he has threatened, he has isolated and segregated out of society. So what she's saying is so important, that he has his own concept of democracy, which is basically go on the government website and politely register your dissenting voice and then dutifully submit to the self-evidently superior vision of the ruling class.
So
his version of democracy is eventually you'll see it our way and we're just going to make sure you do.
And I was looking for this when I was making the point about these leaders obviously seeing social media. In that same speech, you have a reference to openly admires China's basic dictatorship.
Yeah.
And so again, for people, the reason why I'm coming with the reason why I'm analyzing this with the idea of a lie is that when someone says, I really like democracy, and democracy historically means all these things, and then they behave and they say that they act like a dictator. You know, when we know that scripture says that our words speak louder than our actions speak louder than our words. You know, even in James chapter 2, when we're having a conversation about faith and works, you know, James says, show me your faith and I will show you my faith by what I do. And so we want to hear this, folks. Like Tim, you're saying he believes he's going out in democracy. I think he's just outright saying, I don't want democracy. I would like to slowly change it towards dictatorship, but I have to keep people thinking that I'm doing the other thing.
Which, and hence the announcement from Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Justin Trudeau goes live and CBC covered it. And I watched some of these quotes I'm going to bring you are directly just from his announcement. CBC covered it and I watched it live. So Justin Trudeau announced a supply and confidence agreement with the NDP government.
I just love how open and honest that is. Like,
it's so good.
There's so much I admire about this political win for them. It's just so terrible for the world.
It is. So I just want to explain the basics of it. So the clinical definition of a coalition government would be that NDP members would sit in cabinet with Justin Trudeau and with his Liberals, and there would truly be an intermixed sort of high-level portfolio management of the government. That's not the case. And so moderates and Liberals are screaming and throwing their hats when you say it's a coalition government, because it's not clinically the case. However, it is a supply and confidence agreement. I'll explain those two words, very important. So supply means that the party that is going to uphold the minority government, they are supplied with policy priorities. They get a steady cash flow to their policy priorities. So the Liberal government is going to supply the demands of the NDP. And confidence is what you get in exchange for that. Confidence is a parliamentary term that upholds the minority government. So a bill will become a confidence vote. In other words, if certain bills are struck down by a vote, then the government is actually dissolved. So a confidence agreement means that you will provide confidence to the government and it will stand, it will withstand the passage of every single bill. No bill will become a matter of dissolving the government. And so what Justin Trudeau essentially and effectively announced is a coalition of sorts, in that the NDP has promised not to bring down the government. They will vote uniformly and as a bloc to support the Liberal government in what they do until 2025, which is the natural election cycle from 2021. Okay, so that's what's happening. Justin Trudeau says, I thought long and hard about this. It was a difficult decision, but we need it.
Okay.
Jump in. I know. Just come on.
No, so I'm laughing because... Yeah. Again, you know, I saw the announcement. I said, oh, so they got a coalition government. And of course, everybody did the same thing. Well, it's not technically a coalition.
No, it's not a coalition.
And then I started looking at it and it's like, yeah, it's even better for Justin.
That's a
coalition. It is simply we will supply the policies that you would like to have run through, and you give us confidence at all of the votes, and we'll have this really great coalition. But hey guys, in order, we don't want people to be alarmed that it's a coalition, so why don't you not put anybody on cabinet? Like,
yeah, so the Liberal government has a very puritanical Liberal government, but essentially what they're doing is giving the NDP all of its financial and policy demands, by the way, none of which are balancing the budget or reducing taxes. So essentially what you're going to see here is the NDP is going to run blocking for the Liberals for the next 3 years. If you ever watch a game of football, it's a very basic concept. There's the snap, and then there's a pocket where the blockers are going to give the quarterback time to get the pass away. So you're just running blocking. So basically the NDP are going to give the Liberals time to get that ball as deep as they can on every item. And one of the things Trudeau specifically announced that would fall under this corridor of protection would be budgets. He said, we're going to be able to pass budgets. That is not a coincidence or a mistake, because budgets are where the power is. Budgets are where money is spent. Money is spent where the priorities are, where the future lies. Jesus said, where your money is, there will your heart be. The budget is the core of the future of Canada in terms of its ideological direction.
And so specifically, what people have to bear in mind is that both the NDP and the Liberals' solution to everything is increase government and increase spending in order to support government. So it is like when he mentions specifically that budgets are going to be under this shelter, what we are going to see is a growth in government, and at the same time, an increase in taxes, no doubt, because you have to look to the citizens to supply the government money through taxation. And both of these parties, which, by the way, like, they have just been minutia difference for however long the NDP has been in existence, but it is always the leftist ideological organization pulling the Liberals a little more left, and it means big governments. I'll just comment on a few of the policy priorities, Tim, before you jump back in. So the national child care is going to be a priority. National pharmacare. Okay, what that word national, like, that means government oversight, child care, government pharmacare. Transition from fossil fuels. This is key. It's key towards Trudeau's wanting to mimic China, where he specifically said, I admire China's dictatorship so they can move faster towards a greener economy. That's the quote.
They can pivot quickly. Yep.
And so what I'm trying to highlight here, is none of these things comes without a significant cost to freedom and towards the wallets of citizens. Every issue right there means we need to be bigger, we need more money, and we need more control in order to move towards a green economy. Again, if you're a Canadian oil producer, what terrible news this would be for you. And you know, we're going to produce a video later on in the month where we talk about how the oil industry is a blessing to this nation.
Yes,
and this
yes.
is a real problem for both oil production and oil consumption. You know, of course, he couches this all by putting the children before. We believe every child deserves the best possible start, and that every mom should be able to afford to pursue the career she wants. Folks, that's called oxymoronic. Children need mothers, and children need, you know, if they want the best possible start, they need mothers to nurture them and love them. So at the same time, he wants to give the government responsibility to get the kids away from moms, and he wants to give mothers the ability to desert their children as fast as possible. Okay, Tim, you're chomping. Go for it.
All with government subsidies. Yeah. So what you're going to see, and I just want to go back to the more general with this budget thing, is that essentially, in a minority government, your bills are going to receive amendments from members in Parliament. So if the government passes a budget that is way too much spending, and the conservative side of the aisle says, we'll pass your budget, but you need to cut $20 billion in spending, then you might actually see a compromise on the part of the Liberal government, because they say, well, we can either do that or we can face an election. We can go to an election over this $20 billion, or, you know, we can grant the influence of the conservative government here. What they have done is they have totally boxed out, to continue on with sports metaphors, they are completely boxing out the conservative government.
Were you watching March Madness? Like, sorry, were you on football last night and basketball this morning or something? Like,
right. So, sorry. But that's what's happening. They're effectively, very effectively, boxing out the conservative government until 2025. So your conservative MPs from here until 2025, they're doing nothing in the House of Commons but providing sound bites for social media. And I hate to break it to you, but that's what's going on, because the Liberal government doesn't need them. They don't need them to pass their budgets. They don't need them. They don't need to appeal to them. They don't need to persuade them. They don't need them at all. They have a leftist third party in the House that is going to support all of their... So what you're going to get is a very purist, puritanical, liberal budgets from here until 2025. And this is beyond a disaster.
So on that point, Tim,
talked about this destructive spending. Yeah.
Again, we're talking about the tone. We're talking about the intention. We're talking about the dictatorship. That's all in the backdrop of this. Listen to how he says his intentions. Things need to get done for Canadians. So that means he thinks that Canadians cannot afford and don't even want silly stuff like elections or confidence votes or any unnecessary scrutiny. Let's just get things done for Canada. And you know what, Tim, you've done a great job putting together these notes. And when I read that note, I added another one, and that just is literally the opposite of the American system. Like, the American system is designed to be gridlock. I got to think of a sports analogy. I can't get one, so I'm going to go to traffic.
A scrum. I got you. A rugby scrum.
You're on fire. Now, for those of you who don't know what a scrum is, that's for a sport called rugby. A scrum is where two big groups of guys, behemoths, just push together and smush together. In the U.S., you can vote directly for your head of state. You can vote for your president. And then 2 years later, if you're concerned about your president's performance, you can change the Congress. You can change the House by voting in a different direction. Your vote for your leader is not connected to your vote for your state Congress. And
your legislator.
Your legislator. So right there, there's a check. In Canada, the only time where that check is anywhere might resemble that would be when we have a minority government. And that is what we had. Justin Trudeau was able to get a minority government with a million less votes at this last election than the previous election, but it was still a minority. And now he has there's no chance of gridlock. There's no chance of a scrum. The ball has been thrown out to the winger, and every fullback, every defensive player has been pushed out of the way or ripped.
They've been shot.
That's right. And they are going to get things done for Canadians. So folks, again, when he's talking about his intentions, he's lying. When he's talking about what he's going to do, he's telling the truth. He's going to get things done. So we are going to see a lot of change in the coming years in this nation.
We like to call that progress. Okay, here on Liberty Dispatch. Yeah. So, just as a reminder, he set this up by referencing Ukraine. And that was not lost on me. He set this whole announcement up by saying, look, the world is in chaos right now. Things are just, they are hot and messy out there. But here in Canada, it's going to be cozy and stable and predictable. and we're just going to be getting things done for Canadians while all the storm is going on outside. So there's this idea that he's presenting this supply and confidence agreement as a comfort to Canadians. Don't worry. You're not going to have to worry about, you know, these encumbrances, and you're not going to have to worry about this. We're just going to get things done. We're going to spend money for you. And this is the only way he can sell this as being a good for the citizens, is if there's more money coming to you. And so there's no control on any of this. As you said, the winger is sprinting down the field and all the defense players are dead. They're gone. They're out of the picture. And the other thing I want to point out, you know, we like to say as opposition, because conservatives, oh, it's political opportunism. Frankly, everybody's politically opportunistic. I don't care about being politically opportunistic, but I do want to point out when it occurs, just to give voice to it. And one of the things that's going on, I think, in the background of this announcement is that the Conservatives have announced a leadership race. And you've got a number of candidates in the field, Roman Baber, Pierre Poilievre, Charest, a few others, can't remember them all. But certainly, when that's sparking interest, it's sparking attention, media attention, going towards the Conservative government. And what you're going to see in that is some old Conservative ideas maybe come to the surface. You're going to have a little bit more right-wing talking points, which is what Poilievre has been providing. Whether they're sincere or not, not a topic for this show. But he's been talking about more limited government and more liberty and cutting the carbon tax and balancing the budget and things like this. And in the rise of that excitement and in the wake of the convoy and all of the conservatism, or at least small government, liberty-minded people getting momentum, the last thing Trudeau can handle right now is an election taking place in the next 6 months, because there's all this momentum behind the Conservative Party. So what's he going to do? He throws a big wet towel on it and says, oh, don't worry, we're not going to have an election until 3 years from now, which in the political life cycle is eternity. How do you keep up a hot political record or a relevance in the news cycle for 3 years? And I think Ron DeSantis is actually an interesting American example, where if he doesn't get the nomination now, all of this conservatism that he's been fighting for is going to be lost on the political memory of people. And so timing is as important as principle in terms of elections. And I think what Trudeau is doing is very shrewdly throwing a big wet blanket on any momentum that's taking place to his right and saying, no, I think we'll just wait 3 years and they can have their little fun circle time and talk about all their values, but it's not going to matter anyway, because we've essentially boxed them out. Because again, why didn't he create a supply and confidence agreement with the Conservatives? Did he ever talk to them? No. Doesn't want anything to do with them. He's pushing the country left and doing it with impunity.
Yeah. And I think that's really the theme I want everybody to hear really, really clearly from this show, is that this man has a very clear double down tactic that he can be rebuked publicly and blame peaceful protesters to whom he did not talk diplomatically to, and he can blame them. And then he is getting rid of every roadblock that he can to stop from moving quickly. And so I really just want people to be aware of that. We've been seeing things over the last 2 years, and my expectation is that they would ramp up. So look at, we've been going for a while, Tim. Those were my concluding thoughts. Listen for the smoke screen, listen for the anger and the lying coming out. And also be aware that now the checks and balances are gone. The defenders are out of there. Trudeau is moving shrewdly as a politician. It's going to mean great change for our nation. Those are my last thoughts. What are your last thoughts?
Yeah. And I've been saying this, I think, to summarize a lot of our themes. And what I want to go back to is examine the premise, because I think where we have lost so much ground is that we are constantly conceding the premise. And the premise that has been assumed by our governing system right now is that the government is essentially an instrument for good. And the more government we have, the more freedom it has to operate without hindrance, the better everyone will be. So the government is kind of like a fire hose that is just blasting out benevolence and blessing and goodness. And what it really takes is brave and strong men to point it in the right direction. And anybody who would dare kind of curtail that is seen as cutting off that benevolence supply. And I think this is where, again, Canadians need to remember more of their American brothers and sisters, that the Constitution begins with we the people, that a society is built from the goodness supplied from its citizens, not its bureaucracy.
That's so a major, it's a major economic point as well, right? Like the people need to be producing,
right?
The government there is to promote the absolute maximum freedom and pursuit of happiness for the individual, pursuit of capitalism, gaining capital, with a sword of righteousness to just punish evil. It's not its role was never intended by God to supply everyone's needs. That's a great
What you're going to see as this agenda rolls out is the exact opposite, where the government, the more liberty the government has, the more progress we will make as a nation. The less the citizens get in the way of government, the better we will be. Whereas true prosperity and is actually the reverse, where the less the government gets in the way of people, the better and more well-governed the country will be, the more prosperous it will be, because people drive economies, not governments. And so you're actually seeing the total inverse taking place, and Canadians are going to sit along all the way and go, well, yeah, I guess we do need to fund that program or this program. And by the way, this whole green energy thing is exactly, it's the perfect example of the embodiment of that, where your lifestyle, your expectations, the way you heat your home, the amount that you drive, those are all going to be hindrances to the progress, to the ideological progress, which is this green thing. And our energy minister is plowing toward that. So you're going to see that heavily featured in these budgets. And that essentially is saying, the government saying to its people, you are in the way. We need to help you change your lifestyle and change your approach to life so that we can reach this goal. And that premise is what is destroying the fabric of this nation, because the government sees itself as the unifying entity and as the vision for the country. And we're all there to supply it and to allow it to work.
This is why,
so that premise is what we need to challenge.
This is why the Christian church has always been at odds with the state. This is why, on one hand, you have the God-given understanding of authority, both in the state and in the home, but that authority always has limitations. And this is why the church has always come into conflict with the state. This is why the state is one of Satan's great tools to coerce and manipulate Christians, because it is a moral voice that stands up and says, okay, wait a minute, government's good for maintaining law, but government is bad for taking away human responsibility. Because one of the premises, like premise A, is that the more freedom the government has to do what it wants, then you add premise B to that. And underneath that means that moral responsibility and individual responsibility is minimized, individual freedom. Right there, it's where the church stands at tension, right, Tim? It's like we stand at tension and go, wait a minute, no. Someone murders somebody, they need to be punished. But individuals, based upon their fear of the Lord, based upon their knowledge of the real world, based upon their care for individuals, ought to be people who can and will be moral and proper citizens, full of virtue. And so That's the issue that's going on here, folks. The solution always, it is never huge government that has liberty and citizens have no freedom. It is never citizens have perfect freedom to do exactly what they want. It is always the extreme are punished by the government, but and the individual is curtailed, the individual is restrained by moral law, moral behavior that comes from institutions like the church saying individuals have to be responsible. So don't buy premise A, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Tim, nor premise B, because the combination of those two things lead to error. I'll give you the last word.
Well, and so, and the last thing I want to do is just an exhortation to say, in light of this globalist, huge government, unaccountability, don't live your life in nationally, live your life locally, strengthen your localism, strengthen your street, strengthen your church, strengthen your family, because you're only going to beat nationalism and national bureaucracy. You're only going to beat that by strengthening localism and enhancing that and strengthening that, both, you know, economically, socially, religiously, all of those things. You need to build into that, and that's where you're going to have success. And we've said that on the show before. But thanks for joining us for this episode. Mike, thanks for everything you're doing. And join us next time on Liberty Dispatch. Godspeed.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.